way back when I was, I don't even know if I was early pastoring, but I was a midwife back in the day, a trained midwife and nursing, and had an amazing job working in a birth suite, in the labour ward, which some of you, that might horrify you, think that's not a great job. But for me, it was a great job. I loved it. It was so great. And there's some women in the church and they're like, oh, you know, when I go into labour, can you come and be my support person? I'm like, absolutely. I'm totally keen to do that. And so there was this one lady, it was her first baby. And I said, ring me anytime of the day or not. I'm super keen. And so she did. She rang in the middle of the night. Well, it was back when we had cordless phones, right? And so when I picked up the phone, I had it upside down because it was the middle of the night. So I'm like, hello, hello. Oh my gosh, I'm so just drugged in the middle of the night. Anyway, she said, oh, I'm in labor. You know, I'm like, okay, sounds like you're in good labor. I'll come now. So I go down on the coast, probably a 15-minute drive. I get there, assess the situation. She's been in labor like 2 hours, first baby, anyone knows. You've got days. Assess the situation, go, whoa, you're in full tilt labour. We have to get to the hospital now. And she goes, no, I quite like it here. I was like, no, I don't do home births. And it's not legal at the time. Anyway, jumping in the car, we're going to the hospital now. Okay, so she gets in the back seat. I'm driving. Husband was unable to drive at the time. We start driving along Caloundra Road, if you know the Sunshine Coast, heading towards Nambour. Anyway, driving, you breathe through the contractions. I'm, you know, coaching her from the front seat. And she's like, I'm trying to breathe, but the head's coming out. I was like, okay, I'm pulling over. We deliver the baby on the side of the road, Caloundra Road, in the back of my car. Oh, so good. Then call the ambulance, just like the rest of the trip was in the ambulance, and it all turned out well in the end. But what an experience, memorable and crazy. And for a first baby, I mean, unheard of, but there you go. It happens. You know, she probably prayed into a great birth and just, you know, maybe pain-free, maybe a quick one, whatever, but end up being quite messy and quite uncontrolled and not in the, you know, maybe not in the birth pool and the peaceful surroundings. See, sometimes what we pray for, it ends up different than what we actually see. And it's like, oh, we can sort of think, oh, this is the way God's going to answer my prayer. It's going to be really nice and clean. It's going to be very organized, going to be very under control. But God's sort of like, oh no, I can, you know, throw in a birth in the backseat of a car. You know, you get a good outcome, but it's like, there's messy, it's chaotic. It's not that peaceful, hygienic hospital environment. And the same thing, I don't know if you remember in the Bible, where it talks about Moses' time and when he was being born, and the Pharaoh wanted to kill all the newborn babies. That's why they had to put him in the river. And he said, okay, kill all the male newborns. And the midwives said, the Hebrew midwives said, they give birth so quickly, these Israelite women, they give birth so quickly, we can't even get there in time. This was like exactly what happened to me. But what happened out of that was born essentially a king that led the Israelites out of slavery and oppression, out of that into the promised land and into what God was giving them. So man, I tell you what, being a midwife is very unexpected. And sometimes nothing like what we imagine. God's doing things in our lives and in our church. It doesn't necessarily follow our plan, but they are from Him. It might look messy or risky or confusing, but when it's God's timing, we just need to be ready for anything. So Dan referred to taking ground, and earlier this year I did have that prophetic sense of God just saying for our churches that He wants us to take ground. You know, we can put on the armor of God. Ephesians 3 talks about putting on the armor of God, and I love that. I put on the armor of God all the time, feel like I'm ready to fight, ready for battle. And then it says, and having done all, stand. And then I felt like God said, in addition to that, I want you this year to take ground. Take ground as a church. We're going to take ground in land physically and in building renovations. We're going to take ground on the Sunshine Coast. We're going to take ground in leaders rising, in miracles happening, the supernaturally coming. And we're going to take ground in our individual lives. I looked up this scripture of advancing and taking ground and read the story about the taking of Jericho when the Israelites first crossed the Jordan River into the promised land. So they went across and God had, he'd promised them, I'm going to give you this whole land. They were yet to take any of it. They had to defeat a lot of enemy in that country. And so they crossed that land and he said, okay, the first town I'm going to give you is Jericho. Well, Jericho was a walled city and they were all inside it. They were like, we're not letting you in. You're not going to take this ground. And so God said something quite interesting. He said, I want you to walk around, advance around the whole city for 6 days and say nothing. The whole of the Israelites, the priests out the front, I don't want to say anything, just walk around. Does it make sense? Like, it just is like, why would you do that? What's that going to do? Sometimes God tells us to do things that don't make sense. But they were just obedient and just, okay, God, we trust you. Like sometimes if it was something really that made sense, we'd do it. But when it's like, no, fasting, does that make sense? Like we're depriving ourselves of it. It's like, no, of food and drink for this 10-day period. It's like, why though? But it's like God says, this is so powerful for you to do and it breaks chains. And so we go, okay, we will fast. We will deny ourselves of those fleshly things and deny our flesh so that God can do something supernaturally. So as they walked around this land and on the seventh day, he said, okay, now I want you to shout and blow. I want you to walk around 7 times. Who knows the story? Walk around 7 times and blow those trumpets and the walls are going to come down. And that's exactly what happened. Did that make sense? No. Just from a big shout. Who's been in the stadium? Who's been in the MCG? On a AFL big night, right? You scream and shout, nothing comes down, right? Maybe one of the teams do come way down. But even that in itself, it was a supernatural thing because God was moving and doing what only he could do. And so that's what this series, Taking Ground, is all about, us taking ground by being obedient. I want to unpack this scripture today and just draw 3 things out of this story that can help us today. Maybe taking ground for you is like me growing in confidence. Maybe that's you taking ground in this season. Maybe it's physical land or maybe a house. You're purchasing your own home or maybe you want to put an offer in or you're getting rejected on house contracts. Maybe this is taking ground for you. Maybe it's in your business or with a job and you need God to move for you. Maybe it's in your relationships or with a partner or with your family. Maybe it's in freedom, spiritual growth. This is what taking ground can mean for us individually as a church. So the first principle that I want to draw out of this story is number 1, partner with God. Partner with God. We're in partnership with him. I love that. I feel like that's a safe place. God is, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's reliable, he's consistent, he's accessible, he's available, and we can come to him and partner with him. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our helper. I mean, come on, we've got a helper 24/7 available to us in any situation, any time. The first step of partnering with him is giving your life to him. And Dan talked about this, just we share stories every week about transformed lives, about people just giving their life to Jesus. And in every service, we give an opportunity for you to pray a prayer, inviting Jesus into your heart. Say, okay, I'm done doing life my way. I'm going to trust in God, invite him into my life. And I'm going to give that opportunity a little later in the service if you're here and you're not in personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you believe there is a God or you have prayed even, but you're not in personal relationship. I'll give that opportunity today. So we're partnering with God even when it doesn't make sense. Because that's really hard for some people. It's just a really logical, very academic. It's just just to trust God, or it doesn't make sense. In Joshua 6:3, it says, march around the city. I didn't even necessarily read that scripture early on. Joshua 6, it is in verse 7 and 8. Proceed, march around the city. Let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people, seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the Lord followed them. So there was no weapons, there was no strategy. The people were just walking in silence. Faith is action-based. Like with faith, you've just got to move. So God is saying, get up and move. They didn't just believe, they walked in obedience for 7 days. Obedience activates the promise. Years ago, we had a huge faith step, and it was partnering with God. But we're in that early years of married life and just young kids, and we're really tight financially. I don't know if you're in that place, you've been in that place, you just know every cent counts, and luxury items are not in the budget line. It's just kind of how do we make ends meet, and we work really hard and we believe God to bless us. And so we were in a place where we hadn't had a holiday for a long time, and we really wanted to have a holiday, but we had no money. Ever been in that place? Okay, so God's just like, okay, I'm going to give you a great holiday. It's like, awesome. Is it just going to be a check in the mail? Someone just going to give us like a, you know, 7 day, all expenses paid trip, whatever. God just said, okay, I want you to drive. We had an Opel that we'd been given by an aunt, and it wasn't like a sentimental, you know, thing, but she was like, do whatever you want with it. It was a number of pieces. So, you know, when you get valuation of jewelry and they like ramp it right up, and you get nothing like what they actually value, if you've ever done it. Anyway, so we thought, oh, we'll get a few $100s for this, you know, maybe $500, whatever. Anyway, the top price, we went to a few pawn shops, $150. We're just like, man, this is not going to do family of four for a 7 day holiday. Anyway, so, and we went to a few more, that was the best they could do. So we're just like, we just were driving. He just said, drive. We packed up the car. We'd gone through to Brisbane. We were heading to the Gold Coast. We're going on holiday, right? We're just taking it. You know what I like? John's like, let's take a risk. You know what I'm like? I'm just like, I want to know the plan. So, you know, we rang a few places. We're like, oh, how much, you know, for a 7 day, couple of bedroom, whatever holiday. It was like $500. Oh, do any better? No, 400 maybe. I think we had $100 in addition to our $150. Anyway, so then we're like, oh, we didn't have Google anything back in the day. So we were just like, okay, anyone else that you could, you know, suggest this place. Anyway, we ring them. It's like getting like dark now. We're just driving with $150, $250. Anyway, we finally get onto a place. They're like, oh, yeah, we could do it for $300. We're like, don't have $300, $200. Okay, fine. We'll do it for $250, 7 days. It was like a resort. It was called the Grand Florida in Miami Beach. I mean, even the name of it sounds amazing. It was absolutely stunning. It had this resort-style pool. It was the best holiday. It was just like, yes, come on. God came through for us. You know why? Because there wasn't just a step of faith. It didn't make sense. We're just like, we're heading out there. We're going. We're doing it. And we're trusting God. He's going to provide for us. And now we've got this, you know, you build this story, this history of God coming through for you, and it gives you encouragement next time. So it paid off, that risk that we took that time. So what has he asked you to do? So he asked the Israelites to walk around in silence. He asked us to just get in the car, pack it up with two kids and drive. What's he asked you to do? Has he asked you to tithe and give 10% of your increase? And you go, that doesn't make sense, but that's what he's asked you to do. Has he asked you to go to Connect Group? And at the beginning of the year, you're like, ah, yeah, I'm going to commit to it this year. And then you get to mid-year and go, ah, it hasn't really worked out. Stuff's come up. But that's what he's asked you to do. And that's the thing that's going to trigger off the supernatural in your life. Maybe he's asked you to serve, be on the dream team. Did we hit our 100 dream teamers on team? Yeah, come on. I remember being at the Dream Team party in February. It was like, we're so close. Come on, Dream Teamers. Everyone who serves on a Sunday or during the week, we thank you for all that you do. Maybe he's asked you to do Bible college and you think, oh, I don't have any time. But he's asked you to do it. He'll make a way. Maybe he's asked you to be in the fast, do the 10-day fast. Hey, there's still 3 days to go. You can jump on and be a part of this. If that's what he's asked you to do, be obedient. Sometimes we can go, obedience, isn't that a dirty word? No, this is biblical. Doing what God has asked you to do, hearing the voice of God and trusting it. Maybe it doesn't make sense in the natural, but we're going to do it because that is what God has asked us to do. The Israelites were obedient. The march wasn't just physical. It was a spiritual alignment with God's purposes. It demonstrated their trust in God's plan. So that's the first one, partner with God. Just be in step with him. If he's asked you to do something, just, okay, if you've been reminded about that today, and I know the Holy Spirit's so good like that, he just drops in a little thought. It's like, ah, that niggling thing, it's probably God. He's just using me to just speak some thoughts from him today. So partner with God, number one. Number two is expect the miraculous. Expect the miraculous. Come on, there's some faith right there. Earlier in that chapter, in Joshua 6 verse 2, he says, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Before they'd even gone on that journey, he said, I've delivered it already. You have to do what I've... So maybe you've got promises. Maybe he said, I've done it for you. I've given you healing. I've given you finances. And you're like, I'm not seeing it. That's just what his promise is. And then you are expecting the miraculous in that. Joshua 6 verse 20, it goes on to say, when the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shout as loud as they could, suddenly, oh, who loves that? That's the miraculous. The walls of Jericho collapsed. Can you imagine? And the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. They went over all of the walls, all those bricks and everything, and they charged straight in there and they captured it. Those walls, they shouldn't have come down in the natural. Ah, I've got another birth story. Who wants it? Oh, dancer. I'm trying not to give any graphics. I share that earlier one on the Sunshine Coast a little while back, and someone in one of my friends said, oh, I thought you were going to tell the one about the baby that was delivered in the bathroom. And I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that one. So there was, so let me tell you, because this is fun. Oh, so, okay, so second baby in the church, a friend of mine, she says, Can you look after my first one, my two-year-old, when I go into labor? Absolutely, yes. Rings me up in the middle of the night, answer it probably this time. She says, yeah, labor's started. Come over when you're ready, whatever. So, oh, just jump in and come straight over. I lived 5 minutes away. I got change, took 5 minutes, was there in 10 minutes. I walk in, she's holding the baby. Oh, my gosh. Oh, anyway, he's on the phone to 000, the husband, and he goes, oh no, don't worry, our midwife's here. We're going to be all right. Like, what just happened in that 10 minutes? Wow. These fast babies, you think we were Hebrew, honestly, the way that we're going. All ended up well, it was all great, but that was just a little throw in their labor and delivery story for you, Dan Fricker. Come on, expect the miraculous. Do you believe that God is a miracle worker? That he's a God of the supernatural? That he raised Jesus from the dead? That he opened the Red Sea? That he gives sight to the blind? That he brings healing and deliverance and provision for us? This is the God who we serve and we worship. He is a miracle working God. What are you believing for? Expect the miraculous in your life. What are the promises that he's given you? Maybe it's peace. Maybe it's confidence or anxiety, being shut down, those voices. Maybe it's for provision. Maybe you want to hear the voice of God clearer and be so confident that that's the voice of God. Maybe it's healing. This is the essence of faith. You see, faith is not the absence of doubt. It's obedience in the face of it. Let me say that again. Faith is not the absence of doubt. It's obedience in the face of it. Expect the miraculous over and over. God answers our prayers. Years ago, and I was just looking, we were on a holiday and we were on a cruise and I got COVID right in the middle of the cruise. And it was like, ah, we're in the Greek islands. We were just like pottering around. Anyway, I was so sick. I had no energy. I was like sick. Anyway, it was like, I don't know that I'm going to be able to do like the dream ones like Santorini. It sounds like we're on a permanent holiday here, but go on holidays. And anyway, I read this, I wrote a diary entry and I was like, okay, John fired up and he's like, okay, that's it. We're taking authority over this sickness. We're going to pray for healing. And he prayed for me and let me tell you what I wrote. The fogginess lifted and I literally felt my strength returning. I felt like I was going to be able to do Santorini. I had literally no energy, but hope returned as my strength increased. Sometimes God moves suddenly and he shifts things in a moment and we believe in the miraculous power of God. Sometimes it takes a long time. You might think these Israelites walked around that Jericho for 7 days and then boom time, they went in there. What had happened? It was promised 700 years earlier to Abraham when he said, I'm going to give you that land. That promise was a long time coming. Yes, the actual action of them taking that first city was 7 days, but there was a long time before that. I know we want the 7 day one. We want those instant ones. But we can stay in faith by coming to night of prayer and worship. It's so powerful. We can stay in faith by hanging around people that are in small groups that are going to lift our spirits. We can stay in faith by reading the word of God and going, he's done it before. He can do it again. So first of all, we're going to partner with God. Second of all, we're going to expect the miraculous. Why don't we all say, expect the miraculous. Come on and share it with people when it happens. Number three, and I'll just go through this quickly if I can get the worship team up. Number three is fight for your new ground. Fight for your new ground. I don't know if you realize that when they got that, when those walls came down, the victory wasn't instantly theirs. They had to go in there and fight and get victory. So Joshua 6:20, when it says, suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. Verse 21, they devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed every living thing. So they had to go to war. It wasn't like you just did a shout and a cheer and a praise and, hey, we've got it now and we're all sweet. That was the start of the victory of the whole of the country of Israel. By taking this, they had to go in there and fight for it. So we're not sitting back and going, awesome, God, you do your thing. I'll be obedient. But we're stepping into, okay, we are fighting for our new ground. What do we have to do? It's us partnering together with God, taking steps. Years ago, I had one of my first trips was as a 17-year-old and I was going on a ministry trip. I'd grown up in a Christian home and in a Christian school and I was graduating. It was kind of like the end of the year. We're going on a YWAM trip, GoFest, over to Perth. That was my version of schoolies back in the day. And so all the plans had been made. All that we had to do was raise the money. Well, flights to Perth at the time were absolutely astronomical. So we had to go out there and do the cotton chipping. Anybody ever done that? Oh man, in the middle of summer, 3 a.m. in the morning before in Queensland, before the sun came up and brutally scorched us, we'd get out there and do weeding essentially in the cotton fields. We had to do potato picking. Anybody ever done that? Don't ever do it. It's disgusting. They're all underground, but the ones that have gone off, the potatoes, ever smelled a rotten potato? Oh, disgusting. All of that was so that we could go on a missions trip and witness to people on the streets of Perth. But we had to do the hard yards. We had to make an effort. We had to go in there and fight for our ground by raising that money and doing the hard work. Be obedient to what he's asked you to do. Some of us are waiting for God to do it all, but God brings the breakthrough and we step in to take the ground. Right now, during this time of church fasting, we're praying for things as a church. There's five things that we're praying for together. And as we gather together on Tuesday night, We're going to be praying for these things. You can pop them up there. We're praying for salvations, of course, all the time. We want people to be in personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We're praying to our Powerhouse Conference, which is coming up so, so soon. We're praying to our church land. We've got a contract on a block of land on the highway on the Sunshine Coast that we want to build permanent facilities on, and that's going to be impacting in multi-site and in generations. We're praying into that. We're praying for healing and miracles. All the time, we want the power of God to move supernaturally in our churches, and we're praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is church-wide what we're praying for, believing together in this fast. We're also praying for personal things, breakthroughs for you. I hope that you've got a list of the things that you're praying, believing for as we're fasting. Don't waste the fast. Pray, pray, pray. Not just deprive yourself of food and drink. It's about praying and going, God, would you move on my behalf? You act for those who wait on you. And we're believing that God's going to do things personally in your life and in your family and in your situations. So here, out of all of those things today, number one, we're partnering with God. We're doing whatever He asks us to do. We're drawing alongside the Holy Spirit and saying, I'm in step with you. I'm hearing your voice. And I'm going to be partnered in step with you. Number two, we're expecting the miraculous. We're expecting that He can do what only He can do. We're lifting our faith to believe and have a confidence. So we know it's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it is going to happen. That's what faith is. It's a confidence. It's an assurance that God is going to move in our situation for every person. And number three, we're fighting for our new ground. We're taking ground. We're stepping out. We're going again. We're going again. We're going to pray in a moment for some of those things for you. But before we do that, I wanted to give an opportunity for us to pray that prayer, inviting Jesus into your heart. If you've never done that, can we close our eyes?